Telling the story of family businesses across the St. Louis region, this is The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We're joined in studio with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. And today we welcome in Aaron and Laura Telly from Telly Tire and Auto Centers. When actually did Telly Tire and Auto Center start?
So we started back in 1942. Mm-hmm. Actually, my great-grandfather started the company. It was during the Second World War.
Wow.
And we had a, there was a shortage of rubber back then.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the 40s, retreading was still legal on passenger car tires. So they started a retreading plant in Richmond Heights in my great-great-grandmother's garage.
Wow.
And then by 1946, we moved to the location of where we are today at Big Bend and Dale Avenue, just south of Highway 40.
The way the rationing, because of the war, there's a lot of things that were rationed. I remember that with people telling stories about how they could only fill up so much gas. They had to put signs in their car to show that they were working, so they were allowed to drive on certain days. And
there's an old picture up in our waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
And in that waiting room of that picture, it showed that we sold fishing licenses and hunting licenses. I always ask, well, why did we do that if we were a tire store? And come to find out, you know, back then Highway 40 wasn't there. Clayton Road, we were one of the last stops until people would go out into the country. So selling other merchandise to help supplement our tire business back then was fairly normal.
Do you still have a location there now?
We do.
Wow. Same spot.
Same spot. We actually, that serves as our headquarters for our corporate staff today.
Wow. That's amazing. How many people do you have working at Telly Tire altogether?
Altogether, we have approximately 75 associates with the company.
Great. And that's how many stores?
10 locations throughout St. Louis and one in Jefferson City, Missouri.
Oh, that's great. Is Jefferson City the newest one?
It's our newest location.
Great.
Correct.
You've been expanding.
We have.
Because for how many years did you have just that one location?
Well, we were a single location for 69 years.
Wow.
And as a fourth generation owner, I remember as I was growing up in the business, I always told myself, I would rather try and start a second location and fail than wonder 30 years from now, what if I would have done that?
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to ask you about that because we're talking about a fourth generation owner. And for three long generations, no change, one location, and the fourth generation comes in, makes these changes to expand, and they're doing very well. Is that typical? Do you normally see big changes when it comes down the line like that?
It's not very typical that a single location business stays a single location business for decades on end. Usually they have grown beyond that. It's not extremely rare, but it's fairly rare. Most businesses have had to grow, and they deal with that by expanding to another location.
It's probably more rare to have a fourth generation in the family.
That is pretty rare. You're down to about 3-4% of all businesses that start that want to be a family business end up at the fourth generation. So that's, they have defied the odds there.
So, Aaron, this is your great-great-grandfather that started Telly Tire?
My great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather.
Correct.
When did you find interest in the business?
Sure. So I started working there in high school summers, just like any, I believe, son and most family businesses. I mean, that's part of our life. That was part of what we talked about at the dinner table. So high school summers, I found myself working in the tire line and changing tires and sweeping the floors and working as shuttle driver and putting stamps on envelopes, kind of whatever was needed of me. And throughout those years, responsibilities would grow, and it was something that I grew into full-time after high school.
When did you stop selling fishing licenses? Long before you got
there.
Long
before I came along, that is correct.
So no one comes in anymore and asks for one?
No.
That's been a little while since then. You brought your wife in.
I did.
Yeah, I think that's nice. When did you guys meet?
So we met in high school, actually. We went to Lutheran South and graduated in 2001, and we were best friends throughout high school and kept a strong relationship throughout the years and started dating in college.
Laura, do you work now for Telly Tire, or do you do something outside of the family business?
I work now for Telly Tire.
Yeah? So what do you do?
So I'm the director of HR, so I'm in charge of all the people and payroll and productivity analysis, everything people related from benefits to compensation.
Did you ever,
I love it.
Did you work outside and then Aaron get you to come over to the family business?
I did, very much so. I worked at Boeing over 10 years in the corporate world and absolutely loved it, and really enjoyed working in contracts and pricing and people engagement, and kind of brought that skill set over to the small business world, and it's been great.
We work really well together. I find myself, I have all these great ideas in my head and everything, and I have trouble sometimes figuring out how we're going to implement them or put them in, put those into perspective. So Laura does a really great job of putting those into perspective and making sure that that process gets implemented for us. So, and as we've grown over the years, you know, I mean, 5 years ago, we were a single location with 8 employees. And so we've grown exponentially fast. So a lot of those systems and processes that might have been in my head or might have been communicated verbally, today it's important to make sure that those are documented properly, that there are systems in place. So having someone like Laura who has that corporate expertise and that MBA has been a very valuable to us.
So how long have you been the owner?
So I've been officially the owner since 2009.
Okay. So all of this expansion happened after you became owner of Tele-Tire. That must have been a whirlwind, trying to get all these locations set up.
It was. So, you know, I look back on it today, and, you know, some of those locations that we added, I kind of chuckle and say, I'm glad we were successful because, you know, it was somewhat ad hoc where I did it by feel and verbal communication as far as communicating with the other employees. And there was no written process in place or directions to follow. So, and it was something that we've never done before.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a learning curve. And since our first couple acquisitions, we've gotten a lot more detailed on the processes and the systems.
How long was your dad an owner?
So my father and uncle, Mark, were partners. They came into the business in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really good partnership. It worked well in the sense that my father enjoyed the operation side of the business. He enjoyed the interaction with the customers and working with them. He enjoyed being out in the shop, whereas my uncle, he got his MBA from University of Missouri Columbia, and he enjoyed the administrative side of the business, the accounting, marketing, et cetera. So that partnership worked really well for them during their tenure.
We'll continue to tell the story of Tele Tire and Auto Centers coming up next with Aaron and Laura Telly. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business. I'm Ryan Recker, and family businesses, as I've learned, have a lot of struggles, just like any other business. But they have this extra dynamic, this extra fold when it comes to family members and when it comes to ownership. And when a family member is ready to retire, what happens next? Well, they think about other family members in the business. How are they going to handle leadership transitions? How are they going to handle stock or ownership transitions? Let me introduce to you CMA Consulting. They lead a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to be effective business owners. From talent experts, tax, accounting, legal, banking, risk management, preparation is key in making sure you have the right people to talk to. That makes all the difference. CMA excels in helping increase the odds of a successful generational transition along with family harmony. Reach out to CMA Consulting for a no obligation meeting. Call Dan Bean at 314-721-1860 and say, Dan, I heard this program on KMOX. I want to know, what can you do for our family business? If you want to look them up online, CMAconsult.com, CMAconsult.com. It doesn't hurt to call. It doesn't hurt to look it up. Just ask the question, what can you do for our family business? CMAconsult.com. They've been in business around St. Louis for 77 years. Now a fourth generation owner, Aaron and Laura Telly from Telly Tire and Auto Centers, joining us on The Business of Family Business. For nearly three decades, when you were thinking about expanding, did you go and talk to your dad first to get his thoughts on it?
I did.
What did he say to you?
Well, those were some long conversations in the car. At the time, I was still living at home.
So you were maintaining ownership, but you were still living with your father?
Well, this was pre-2009.
Okay,
so,
I gotcha.
You know, this is probably around 2005, 23, 24 years old. I was still living at home, actually, and you know, back then, the business was struggling in the sense, kind of how Dan mentioned, that over those generations of not growing, you know, we had declining sales 14 out of the last 17 years.
Oh, okay.
There was a lot of intense conversations as far as there was a strong fear for me of where, you know, where's this business going and is there a place for me in this business? Mm. Because I saw the writing on the wall of...
Did your dad?
I think he did. You know, my father had some a medical situation in the late 90s. He had a rare blood disease similar to leukemia.
Mm.
And he had a bone marrow transplant. And back then, you know, he spent my high school career, I remember probably 60% of my high school career, he was in the hospital.
Mm.
So now that I look back on it, you know, with more mature eyes, a successful day for him was getting through the workday,
mm-hmm.
completing the workday, taking care of his customers, taking care of his employees, and hoping there was enough money left over for him and his brother at the end of the day.
Oh, wow.
The thought of him expanding, growing the business further, I think just where he was at, that wasn't possible. So when I would have these conversations with him, it was difficult for him to grasp. And I think furthermore, we had two different thoughts on business in the sense that he was, you know, he believed nobody cared as much as he did, which was true. So, you know, he was so customer focus oriented that at the end of the day, he had to be touching everything. Mm. And when you have that mindset, I think it's extremely difficult to wrap your arms around or be able to think about expanding to multi-locations, because something I quickly learned was, you know, you have to put your trust in others. You have to empower others for that to be successful.
Yeah, I can see him looking at it in a couple of different ways, too, trying to make sure he's cautious because, of course, being your father, he loves you. And, you know, you have the one location. He's thinking to himself, you know, anything could happen. There's a lot of variables. So when you open up another location, and then life happens like it did for him, then what happens? And you're talking about the family business, and he doesn't want you to open up all these locations, and then some catastrophe or something happens, and then, you know, you're stuck in a bad place. So he was probably very cautious, too. But did you come to the decision? Did you have to convince him? Or was it at the point you were the owner, and he said, whatever you think's best, I'm going to let you do your thing?
Yeah. Well, so unfortunately, we never were able to get to that opportunity. Mm. My father passed away at age 54 in 2009. Mm. And Dan, of all the business acquisitions and family business you've been involved in your career, I'm sure this is even a unique story for you to hear in the sense that we pretty much had the paperwork inked and ready to be signed for me to buy out my uncle's portion of the business. When my father passed away, then there was a shareholders agreement in place to where there was life insurance that kicked in and took care of my father's shares, and then my uncle became 100% shareholder.
I see. So that's what the agreement was at that point. And but you were going through the process of transferring ownership from your father to you.
From my uncle to me.
From
so I would be partners with my father.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to buy out your uncle's portion, and then you would have been co-partners. I see.
Yeah, his uncle's retired at the time.
What ended up happening then was, you know, something I was very fortunate with, and owe a lot of gratitude to my uncle in the sense that I think that allowed this fourth generation to come into play. Mark has a big role in that, in the sense that he honored his commitment of still selling me that 50% share, not saying, well, now I'm 100% owner, so instead of you paying X, you're going to have to pay me Y now.
You know, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, that's an interesting circumstance to transfer ownership when you have a tragedy with a death of one of the owners. Is that something that would be easier to work with inside of a family structure? Or do you sometimes see that that doesn't really matter? Sometimes business is business.
So Aaron's father and Mark did what they should have done. They had a buy-sell agreement. Mm-hmm. That if something happened to one of them, the other one would be paid off. It was funded by life insurance. So they did everything. They checked the boxes they should have checked. It's just an unfortunate timing that Mark and Aaron had agreed that Aaron would buy half the business from Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And while they reached agreement before the documents were signed, Aaron's father passes away. And Mark did a very generous thing. He let Aaron basically inherit half the business from his father, and he sold him his half, even though Mark was 100% owner at the time.
Wow.
It's a very generous, very magnanimous offer by Mark to the next generation.
Right. Aaron and Laura, were you married at the time that happened?
We were.
Mm-hmm. You were already married.
Yep.
So you're going from, I'm going into business with my father, to I'm running the show. Plus, you're dealing with the difficulty inside the family with the passing of your father. That must have been a very difficult time, because you're probably leaning on your father to learn a little bit more of the business. You're going to work side by side with him, to now you are the owner of the business. That must have been a very difficult time as an owner.
Well, it really was. I was, you know, woke up, pretty much at the age of 27 there, all of a sudden sole owner of this company.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I felt all this confidence of everything I was doing was the right thing, and I was bold in some of the moves I was making. But then when you lose someone like your father that was there to kind of back you up, when you lose that, I would almost call it like an insurance policy for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that wasn't there, that support wasn't there for me. Yeah, it was definitely something that made me wake up a little bit and say, you have one opportunity to make sure this works out, and yeah, you know, don't screw it up. Even though it was an established business, I felt like I was an entrepreneur starting from the ground up, in a mm-hmm. sense, and that I had to put in a lot of long hours. So, you know, those days I would be behind the counter, learning the customer service aspects, learning the operations of the business, and then in the evenings working with my uncle on the administrative side of the business and learning the financial statements and learning more about marketing and what works. And mm-hmm. I knew from an early start I needed to surround myself with other people that had experience, that were smarter than me. And I think that was one of the most valuable things that I did early on in my career.
Hmm.
And I was very fortunate in selecting the right groups of people. Those were some of the biggest catalysts of me helping us become successful as a business.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you saw that Aaron, as a fourth generation, had a different viewpoint from his father, the third generation, on what they should do, what direction they should take the company. Is that pretty typical?
I think you could also say it's almost like Aaron had a different view than generations 1, 2, and 3,
mm-hmm.
because they operated it in a hands-on way, almost as they're working in the business every day, hands-on. And Aaron saw it in part thanks to the wake-up call from the guy that bought the set of tires and then went to Walmart because he had a flat. That wake-up call made Aaron see the business in a different way. And Aaron has been working on the business, not in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So he does not see it as every day I got to be hands-on and control everything and sit behind the counter. I got other people to do that. I get them engaged and committed, and then I can do other things to keep growing the business. We had a client once, we were talking about the stages of a business, and he was generation 3, and he kind of smacked his forehead and he said, oh my goodness, we've been at year 1 in the evolution of a business for 60 years. We've repeated year 1 60 times. We got to move to year 2 here pretty soon. And so sometimes business owners fall into that line of thinking, I just have to operate what I got in my box and my store and everything will be fine. And sometimes that is the case. And sometimes businesses last hundreds of years like that, but it's more the exception than the rule.
Aaron Telly's a fourth generation family owner for Telly Tire and Auto Centers. When did they start to see the business turn around? And let's also talk about the contributions of Aaron after he took over the company. Telly Tire and Auto Centers, their story continues next, along with Laura Telly and Dan Bean from CMA Consulting in studio next on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting.
KMOX Weekend at your service, sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We tell the stories of family businesses. And if you have a great family business story to tell, we want to hear from you. CMAconsult.com. That's the website. Let us know about a family business that's near and dear to you. Maybe you're part of a family business. CMAconsult.com. Just reach out to Dan and let them know you're interested in being profiled on this program. Now more with Aaron and Laura Telly with Telly Tire and Auto Centers. When did you start to see things turn around?
So, we started to see a fairly good turnaround within probably about 2 years it took.
Mm-hmm. And at this time, you were just the first location at the Telly Tire.
Yeah. So this is, you know, even though I didn't take ownership until 2009, I was working in the business 6 years before that. Mm-hmm. So we started to see the turnaround before that. And, you know, one thing I was very fortunate about was, you know, the industry really changed, just like a lot of industries with the internet and everything. A lot of things changed, but the tire business became a commodity business. Hmm. You can go purchase your tires today when you go do your grocery shopping. And our business model stayed the same throughout those years where, you know, we treated tires not like a commodity, but more of a resource where we were charging higher margins than our competition. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, because of our customer service, people are going to be willing to pay a higher price. Well, that just was not true no longer in the marketplace. And that's something that I recognized. And I think we just, we had to get back to basics. You know, I think we talked a good talk for a long time, but I think it was time just to kind of refreshen things up.
You ever have one of those aha moments where things started to click, something that woke you up?
Yes. Well, there was two aha moments for me.
Yeah.
You know, I think one for me was coming into the family business. And, you know, when you're younger, you have these notions of a family business, like everything's going to be okay for me. I have this family business to fall back on. I'm going to be okay.
Sounds like how normally a kid in the business would look at it as opposed to a parent.
Correct. And that me as the kid looking into that, that's how I saw it. And, you know, when you come into the business, realities are thrown at you. And someone that never really truly applied themselves start to see these realities slap me in the face. And it put fear in me in the sense of, you know, I had all these great friends who were graduating college and going on to do all these great things. And exciting things. And here I am wondering, you know, what the heck am I going to be doing? So that was one aha moment for me in the sense of I better figure this out and turn the ship around. And the other aha moment was, and this is something I'll never forget, we had a great long-term customer come in. And this was someone that, you know, my high school summers, I would drive them back to their home when they would drop off their vehicle. I created a nice personal relationship with them. And they came in and bought a set of tires from us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, me being younger, I didn't really know any better. I was just quoting the pricing off of the computer screen of what we had listed. And a couple of days later, that customer came back and, you know, they were very upset. He had a flat tire out of town and ended up going to a Walmart, large, you know, chain, and purchased a tire that happened to be, I don't recall, but maybe $60 less per tire.
Hmm.
So in his eyes, we were, you know, took full advantage of this customer. And I saw this and I pulled up our pricing. And if I would have sold that tire for the same price that Walmart sold him, I would have made no money.
Hmm.
It was hard for him to understand that. But for me, that made me realize the way this industry was changing, and that it really becomes more of a volume game of selling more units, and we're going to have to get in line with pricing.
I see. So when you're playing the volume game, that's when you start to look at the only way you can do that is by expanding.
Correct.
Wow. Is that person still your customer? Were you able to keep a relationship with them?
So we lost him for maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
And I am glad to say that we have them back customer at Telly Tire, and it's one of my personal success stories that I'll never forget.
I'm happy to hear that. Five years later, you still remember these things, and you're so happy that they came back.
Right.
That's the personal touch, you know. That's something that you guys can offer at Telly Tire. Let me ask this to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, because we've seen different changes. He's seen different changes even in his tenure as ownership, but we're looking at some other changes and shifts in the industries too that happened in the 80s and 90s. So how does a business operate as a wholesaler and retailer at the same time?
Very carefully, because that's very difficult to do, because goods move through a value chain from raw materials, say on the left side of the page, to the end consumer on the right side of the page. And if you're going to occupy two links in that value chain simultaneously, that means you're going to be a wholesaler or supplier to some stores. And then when you put your retailer hat on, you're a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And so most organizations don't like another organization having that dual role, and it gets very tricky, and it takes a lot of very fine craftsmanship to maintain those relationships and keep that going.
Yeah.
It does happen, and it often happens when channels to market go through disruption and transformational change, but most every player in a value chain does not want my supplier to also be my competitor. Mm.
You know, Aaron, I wanted to talk to you about deciding your locations and when you actually opened that second location. Where was location number two?
So location number two was in Sunset Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I don't know if you recall that tornado on New Year's Eve that went through the Sunset Hills area about, what, 7-8 years ago?
Yeah, mm-hmm. 2011.
But it went through a older automotive repair shop that never ended up reopening their doors.
Oh, I see.
So we went in there. That was our first opportunity, and we went in there and fixed it all up.
Tornado damage and everything. You went in and said, this is it.
I remember bringing one of my top tire suppliers in there, showing him the space, and I can still remember the look on his face like, do you really know what you're ready to get yourself into? Because this place was run down, and it definitely needed some TLC.
Did you feel like there's a possibility you may be getting in over your head with location number two?
You know, I think I might have been too naive to think that at the time. I mean, I was so gung-ho on that and so excited about the opportunity. I think also I was under the mindset if I didn't do this, then there may be no location number one. That was really the mindset that I had, that if we were going to be successful for another generation, we had to start growing our business.
Laura, what did you think of the expansion and going in that location in particular? Did you go and scout it too?
Oh, I had the opportunity to go see it as well. Yeah, we were, you know, it was closer to our first home. We thought it was a good idea. We were pregnant with our first child and said, you know, we're going to do this. Let's do it.
So you were supportive and you said, let's do it.
Let's do it. Absolutely. Let's do it.
So you're in a location that used to also offer tire and automotive repair.
Right.
You fix it up. You open it up. How did that go?
Well, we had this big grand opening plan. We ordered all this food and catering in. We were going to give away some great prizes. I thought we're going to have all, you know, this place is going to be full of customers. We only had one customer that came in that day, and that was because we brought a car from our Richmond Heights location over to Sunset Hills for some service. So,
oh
my gosh, it was a great learning experience in the sense that, you know, we were only 7.5 miles geographically away. Being in Sunset Hills from Richmond Heights, the residents in that area really didn't know who Telly Tire was. Fortunately, we were able to have Richmond Heights being successful to where it could support it for a year. You never want to just grow to have other successful stores support those other stores.
Yeah. So now you said you have 10 locations.
So we have 10 locations.
Which Jefferson City is the number 10 location.
Correct.
That's pretty far away. Is that hard for you to manage the distance between those? Because geographically, you have a lot in this area, but now you have one that's a little road trip.
That's true. That's our first location outside of the St. Louis market.
Mm-hmm.
We did that. We felt like it was a good opportunity for us. If we were ever going to expand out of the St. Louis market, this was one that made sense for us. We do have some goals and objectives of growing outside of the St. Louis market and further out west.
Mm-hmm.
We see ourselves possibly entering this Kansas City market at some point and building a foundation out there as well. But you're right. We're in the new phase for us of creating that next level of management and that next level processes to make sure when you expand outside of that St. Louis market that we have everything in place for us to be successful.
We'll continue one last time with Aaron and Laura Telly from Telly Tire and Auto Centers, also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, telling the story of family businesses. It's the business of family business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And 2/3 of family businesses do not make the generational transition, which makes this very special since they're a fourth generation. That's pretty rare, meaning when it's time for a family business owner to step down, many family businesses may identify or even develop a successor. But how many of them actively work to unify the next generation? And that's where CMA Consulting can help. You should reach out to Dan Bean. CMAconsult.com is the website, or call 314-721-1860. And it doesn't hurt to give them a call and just ask, what can you do for our family business? They can help not only unify the next generation, but apply insights into your family business and provide expert content in specific areas that they can help make sure it's applied to your family business correctly. CMA Consulting, cmaconsult.com is the website. But if you'd like to pick up the phone and give them a call, the number is 314-721-1860. 721-1860. That's how you reach CMA Consulting. If you missed any part of this story, you can find it online by going to KMOX.com in the podcast section. Just look for the Business of Family Business, telling the story of Telly Tire and Auto Centers, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. Aaron Telly and his wife, Laura, fourth generation family members owning and running the business now. Where are all of the locations now for Telly Tire and Auto Center?
So we have Sunset Hills, Missouri, Bridgeton. Mm-hmm. Benton, mm-hmm. We're in Alton, Illinois, mm-hmm. Central West End, mm-hmm. We are in South County in Oakville area, Jefferson City, mm-hmm. Eureka, Missouri,
okay,
and then our main store in Richmond Heights and St. Charles.
And at each of those locations, do you all offer the same thing, or do some of them have different specialties?
We do. So everybody offers the same services and products. Some of the stores do have some of their own specialties. For instance, our Bridgeton location has the ability to work on some bigger fleet vehicles. You know, some of our stores have technicians that specialize in engine diagnostic or complex electrical repairs, to where if we ever run in trouble with a certain vehicle, we can bring that to a different location to make sure it receives the proper attention.
So, Laura, when you came into the business, I'm sure you've seen some changes, too. The expansion's happening. There's a lot more employees. So if you're working HR, there's probably more personalities you're dealing with. You probably have seen a lot of changes, too.
Absolutely. Since I formally came in the business in fall of 2017, we had around 35 employees in 6 stores. So today, sitting at 10 stores and 75 employees, it's really important to us that we hear the employees as to what's important to them. You know, in a family-owned business, going back to the roots of it is that personal communication and that personal touch. So last fall, we actually conducted a survey to learn about, you know, what people were seeking. And as we continue to enhance our benefits, really people saw, as we continue to acquire stores, some were open, some were not open on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And we ended up, employees saw it very important to be closed. So as a family-owned business in this industry, it's unique that they have the opportunity to be off, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays in the greater St. Louis area to be with their families. So we're excited to offer that opportunity.
For your employees, you wanted that to be a perk to work at Telly Tire.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's great, you know, the different generations of experience we have. You know, some of the younger generations want to make it to all those T-ball games, and some of the more seasoned generations are excited to have another day to rest their hands to go back at it Monday morning. So
again, at Telly Tire and Auto Centers, if people wanted to look you guys up online, you have 10 locations. So there's spread out through the St. Louis region and one in Jefferson City. If they wanted to find a location close to them, they can just go to tellytire.com is the website.
Correct.
Perfect. And probably the best thing for me, I like to pick up a phone, so you can always find the closest location, give a call, and ask a question.
That's right.
That's easy to ask a question over the phone. You guys are very friendly that way.
Very easy. Thank you. You know, an interesting story I'll share with you about this that extremely rewarding for me. So in one of our trade magazines, they did a similar story, how the St. Louis Business Journal would do a 40 under 40. Mm-hmm. It was one of those articles. So they would ask you questions like, what were some of the challenges that face you and your business? How did you get started in the business? And one of the questions was, if you could go to lunch with anybody dead or alive, who would it be and why? And I thought to myself for a minute, I said, well, I could, you know, get the sentimental answer and pick my father or grandfather. And I talked about it with Laura, and we decided to pick an individual by the name of Bruce Holly.
Hmm.
So Bruce Holly is founder of Discount Tire, which is the largest independent tire dealer in the country. And there was actually a New York Times best-selling book on him, and he was one of those true rags-to-riches story.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the insurance business and ended up getting fired. And when he was walking home, he stopped into a gas station and got a job at that gas station. and ended up buying a percentage of that. And that's how he got started in the tire business.
Wow.
He ended up buying him out, and he started changing his tires himself. Mm-hmm. This was back in the early 50s. And he grew it to over 1,000 locations today and over $4 billion in revenue. And what makes him, you know, not just growing this, you know, I mean, this gigantic business and being extremely successful, but of how he takes care of his employees and how he looks at that business and how he empowers people and creates opportunities for his people was something that I admire very strongly. And anytime I had a chance to learn from him or read articles, I would always make sure I would do that. So anyway, I selected him as somebody. Mm-hmm. Well, his secretary ended up seeing the article, and I think this shows how great of a person this gentleman really is. So he sent me a letter, and he just was flabbergasted by seeing this letter, and he sent me a few dates that he would be able to fly to St. Louis and have lunch with me.
How about that?
So he lives in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, last year he was on the 140th richest man list of Forbes at mm-hmm. a net worth of over $7 billion.
Mm-hmm. So that's why he offers to fly here into St. Louis.
So he flew to St. Louis. I picked him up at Chesterfield Airport. We drove to Andy Gunn's. We had a two-hour lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had this notepad with all of these questions on there.
Mm-hmm.
Because all I could think about was, oh my gosh, I am going to waste this guy's time. I cannot do that, you know. And when we sat down, I looked at my notepad and I asked the first question, and that was the last time I looked at that notepad. Mm-hmm. That it was a great conversation, and I can say that I bought lunch for a billionaire.
It's amazing, isn't it? Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I got to ask you this: how often does someone get to meet the person they've always wanted to meet and pick their brain when it comes to business? That seems pretty awesome.
That's an amazing story that Aaron just told. I don't know anything that compares to that. That's one of a kind.
Do you have any kids?
We do.
Yeah.
So we have three boys.
And they're younger.
They are younger.
Well, your website, telletire.com, TELLETIRE.com. And what do you guys do? Do you do a lot of online sales, or do you mostly use that for ways of marketing or pricing?
Yeah, so ways of marketing and pricing and letting customers be able to reach out and contact us.
Yeah.
So we're still 100% brick and mortar.
Yeah, that's how I learned about you guys when I brought my wife's car in for some tires. That's how I learned about you.
Well, great. Thank you.
Went to the website. Everyone does that. They want to check out the website first, kind of know what they're getting into.
Right. That you know, that website, we just built a new website about a year and a half ago. One of the big things we went through, we did a rebranding strategy. We found ourselves, after having five or six stores, we were operating under three different names. So that was a big part of remarketing for us, of getting everything consolidated under one roof, updating our logo and website and everything.
So you are Telly Tire, but Telly Tire and Auto Center. Do you guys do more tires, or do you guys do more auto repair?
Well, this answer actually surprises a lot of people. We are 60% auto service and then 40% tires.
Wow.
So we are more than equipped to be able to handle all of your automotive needs.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. You heard the story of Telly Tire and Auto Center today. What are your impressions?
This is almost a tale of two cities. It's a story of a business that didn't change much for decades, and then in the last 2 years has changed dramatically under Aaron's leadership. He's done a great job of recognizing the difference between working on a business, which he has done, versus working in a business, which is what his father and prior generations tend to do. He's also found a way to acquire other businesses and get them and bring them into his family of businesses and make them very productive and give them a new lease on life. He's a visionary owner. He's done a great job, and it looks like a very bright future.
Aaron and Laura, Telly Tire and Auto Center, I'm so glad you guys came in. And thank you for sharing your story on the Business of Family Business.
We really enjoyed it. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.